The Bible reading today comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 34. Treasures in heaven. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? But why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you, that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. This is the word of the Lord.
Kingdom of security, Matthew 6, 19 to 34. Well, we're up to the end of it, aren't we? And today we'll look at what it means to have security and how Matthew, in his sermon of Jesus on the Mount, in the instruction to the young church, brings assurance to these young believers. And let's review it. Let's go through and have just a quick review. And as we do, we're blessed because Christ is in us. That's right, we're blessed because Christ is in us. People have a profound influence and are salt and light, and they immediately become salt and light. That's right, you and me become salt and light as soon as we're a Christian. And we are righteous sinners. What was the term? Salvation's beauty. And people, we're a people who seek peace and reconciliation. We're faithful to our word. We're people of integrity. And we're a paradigm that loves the enemy and finds hope for the future. We respond in faithfulness and righteousness by our giving, our praying and fasting as a way of honouring God, and also putting our trust and showing we have our trust in God. And it's our response to God's graciousness and his love for us. It's not a get out of jail free card. It's just our response. And today we're assured. That's right, we're assured. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. We're assured that we are in a kingdom of security. I don't know about you, but I meet a lot of people who do a lot of... I'm an overthinker. Sam will tell you that. And I worry a little bit. I don't let worry grab me. I do tend to be a thinker, and the cogs do start turning, and I think of lots of different options for things. And I work hard to put my faith and trust in God, but there are times when I kind of let worry drag me down a bit. And when I know, when I recognise it as dragging me down, there's a positive side. I go mow lawns, and I go blow the paths. And it helps me to just pray and focus and get my mind right with God again. So some people say, why do you like mowing the church lawns or your lawns of your house? Or why do you like blowing things off? Just gives me some good headspace and just helps me to spend time with my Lord and do it in a way that has no other focuses. It's really good. I suspect that some of the folk out there wish that your spouse would do a little bit more worrying. You know, well, for me, it's an exercise where I can occupy my hands and think and talk to the Lord. And I've done a lot of mental processing of situations and received a lot of vision while standing behind a mower or a blower. See, I think worry is in our DNA. We don't like to admit it, but worry is in our DNA. And it's actually the world's currency. We live in a world that induces a state of fear, panic, and worry. Just look at what the media does. How many times do you see a story that says, here's an assurance of all the good things happening in your lives? No. What do we get? We're buying a couple of billion dollars worth of, or a couple of hundred billion dollars worth of submarines to protect ourselves because China's going to come and invade. We're buying more of this. We're buying more of these weapons. We're buying more of that. And that's about fear. There's this natural thing that the media plays on, fear and worry. So what are we going to do to it? And what are we going to do about it? Do we just yield to it? Do we let it shackle us? And what does Jesus teach us about worry? In most of our Bibles, there's these things called headings. And as we go through these passages today, there's two headings. The first one, Matthew 6, 19 to 24, has the heading, treasures in heaven. And then Matthew 6, 25 to 34 carries the heading, do not worry. But are these opposing or complementary? I actually think they're two sides to the coin. Treasures in heaven and do not worry, they're the same coin. And we'll delve into why I see them as the same coin. See, earlier in Matthew 6, Jesus tells us to pray, give, fast as acts of righteousness and acts of declaring our dependence upon God. Acts of faithfulness and dependence upon God. That's right. And there's nothing wrong with having a faithfulness and having a dependence on God. And actually saying, I yield my heart, soul, mind and strength. I give God my all. I yield my all. All that I have, I freely give. Yeah, we talked about this last week, didn't we? So when we pray, we're telling God we trust he will hear and answer. When we give, we're telling God we trust he will provide. And when we fast, we're telling God that we depend on him to reveal to us a broken world. And we trust him to use us to help be part of the repairing and restoration of that. That's what this is about. It's to take our focus and put it onto God. So Jesus follows this up by telling us not to store up our treasures on earth, but to store up our treasures in heaven. Well, how? Well, through prayer, giving and fasting, we are not laying up for ourselves treasures that cannot be stolen or corrupted and by the decay of the things of this world. See, this whole Matthew 6 is a really challenging passage. The whole of Matthew 6. The notion of prayer, spending more time in prayer and doing it privately for others and earnestly for others, giving, financial and of our times and our services, and then fasting, setting ourselves aside from the things of this world to focus just on God. That's what Jesus says stores up our treasures in heaven. And it can't be corrupted. That stuff can't be corrupted by the decay that happens on this world. And then Jesus goes on to tell us that by storing up heavenly treasures, that we can gauge what our heart is truly fixed on. Is our heart fixed on God? Or is it, see, because you know, we tend to guard the things that we treasure the most. And that's just how he is. So here's a question. Are we more careful about our car than our prayer life? Ooh, Are we more protective of our furniture than are called to give in the kingdom of God? That's an interesting notion, isn't it? Because we put a financial value on our car and our furniture, but we don't tend to put a financial value on our prayer life or our giving to God. So Jesus challenges that where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. These are difficult words for us to hear, brothers and sisters. Trust me, putting this sermon together, I kind of thought that when I first started doing this Sermon on the Mount, you know, giddy up, this is going to be a great thing. And one of my brothers in the Lord, who's a minister, Martin, he told me, are you really going to preach? He said, do you know what you're getting into? And I went, yeah. I was a bit blind. I didn't think God would challenge me as much as he has just in these two chapters in the whole Bible. Wow. You know, we're unable to serve two masters. It's just not in our nature, is it? It's not in our nature to be divided. We cannot treasure the things of this earth and still be completely given over to the things of Christ. We cannot be consumed by the stuff of life and by Christ at the same time. It just is too hard to do. We can't uphold it like that. I tried to look, however, at houses, car, money, and as tools in God's kingdom. I don't have a problem with houses, cars, and money, but if we focus on them as the prize possession rather than the tools of service, then all of a sudden, I think we've got to have the right paradigm for them in our lives. Tools are something I need to accomplish a task in life. So for me, having a house to live in that's in this community helps me minister and serve this community all the better. A car allows me the opportunity to more effectively do my work, and I don't have a problem with that. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with having things, as long as the things don't have you. I'm trying to remember which minister said that to me many years ago. There's nothing wrong with having things, just don't let the things have you. So why is Jesus telling us to get our priorities straight about the material things of this life? Well, it's simple. He's doing this because he knows the more stuff and the more divided we become, the more worry we will have. Have you ever tried to declutter a house? I just look at my office, and when you look at me doing this sermon, I'm sitting in my office, but you don't get to see the rest of my office, and there's some clutter in there. And it causes me concern when I think I have to clean it for whatever reasons, and it's because we've got all this clutter, but our lives are the same. Sometimes we have so much clutter in our lives, and we have so much stuff that we're trying to juggle, and worry just becomes the natural default for it. Worry is, in its most basic form, misplaced trust. That's right, it's misplaced trust. Worry means that somewhere along the line we've placed our trust in something other than God. We've replaced the power of God with the manufactured security of humans or their ingenuity. We're trusting more in the things of this world than in God. And I know that the physical things of this world are easier to put your trust in, but it doesn't make it right. When we pray, when we give, and when we fast, we're declaring our dependence upon God. That's right. These work to root out the false idols of our lives. You see, that's why this is part of the passage just before worry. They root out those areas where we are not trusting in God's provision, the places where we tend to worry the most. Look at what Jesus says not to worry about. Do not worry about clothes, do not worry about food, do not worry about life, and do not worry about drink. He says that's what the unbelievers do. See, we trust in God because he thinks we are more valuable than the birds and the barns, the food and the fashions of this world. We're more valuable than that. God doesn't look at us and go, oh, see that Armani suit over there? That's worth more than Nick. No. See, because you're valuable to him, he has promised to provide all your needs. All of your needs. But because we are frail in our faith sometimes, we think we need to provide all of our needs ourselves. Prayer, fasting, and giving will actually change our focus. That's right, the preceding passage isn't randomly there. We do not run after the things of this life in hope that they will satisfy our needs and desires. And by prayer, fasting and giving, it will actually stop us from doing that. We chase after the things of God and yield our lives to Him. Why? Well, because we trust that in doing this, God will give us all the things we need in this life. And by trusting God to be my provider and sustainer, I can obey Christ's call not to worry. I think sometimes when I'm pushing that mower around or that pushing the blower around, and I actually think, well, God, I haven't really done much apart from focus on you, but my worry's gone. Strange, isn't it? When my focus is relying on God, my worry dissipates. See, I can handle the trouble that comes today because of Christ. I can handle the trouble that comes up tomorrow because of Christ. And you know the question, what are you worried about today? What is the thing that you want to put in God's hands, but just can't seem to do so? There's always something we have in our hands that we just can't seem to put in God's hands, because we think that we can handle it best. But we've got to yield it. See, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of security. We live in a world of turmoil and stress. The end result of living in this world is often worry. But Jesus tells us not to worry. Instead, he calls on us to talk to God. To talk to God and to listen. When people come and say to me, I'm worrying about this, I do tell them to try and give it up to God. And in doing so, I'm really saying, have you prayed about it? Have you spoken to God about it? I don't mean have you worried about it, because I know you've probably worried about it. But have you really sat down with God and said, tell me what to do and I'll obey you? Have you fasted over it? Like, it might sound funny. There's been some issues that have come up in my life where I've actually said to God, I'm not going to even think. I'm going to take it all and put it off to the side, and I'm not going to think. I'm not going to engage this for the next month, but I'm going to talk to you about it only. Only about you. No one else. Do you know God's really good? Because a lot of the time that brings me a whole new perspective on the thing that's been challenging me. And God just takes me graciously through it. You know, because see, even though I mow and blow, I'm still asking God what I need to do and what he needs to do. Not what he needs to do. I don't tell him what he needs to do. He knows what he needs to do. And normally it's get me to focus on him. Secondly, I think if someone comes up, I'd ask if you were willing to give. That's right. I ask if God asked you in prayer to give away the thing that you're worrying about, that's consuming your time, your energy, your money, whatever it is. Could you do it? Would you do it? I think you'd say, yes, I could do that. But would you? Could you give up the thing that makes you feel secure in this earth for something that will give you security that goes beyond this life? And you might say, but Nick, you don't understand my situation. That's right, I probably don't. But I'm still going to ask you, would you be prepared to give it to God and trust in him? Oh, well, that's not going to solve it. I know what you're saying. I don't get these conversations. People come up with them. It's okay. It's okay. You just have to find that point of trust. Sometimes the things causing us to worry are things that we have brought into our own life without seeking God's will for them. Now we become trapped and confined by the very thing we thought would give us freedom. And it's not. But we don't know how to let it go because it becomes almost our Linus blanket. Third thing I'd ask is, have you fasted? Or have you taken time to abstain from food or even the thing that's causing you to worry? That's what I do. I put it aside, take time away from it. And you know what? I've had some amazing results with God because of it. Have you taken extra time to ask God to give you a new perspective on the stuff you possess and how it could be used to repair other people's lives by giving it away? That sounds strange, but sometimes it's the best way. What does 1 Peter say? I think it would be a good day to lay down the bondage of worry, amen? I think that's what Peter would say. The Apostle Peter tells us to cast our anxieties on Christ because he cares for us. cast our anxieties, our worries, our fears, our cares, cast them all on Christ because he cares for us. I like the term cast. It doesn't mean hand them over. It means to throw them as hard as you can at him. Cast. This is the Sermon on the Mount. As I said, it was a training manual for the early church, and today we've come to its conclusion. It's given us words of hope and assurance. It's given us words of challenge for how we live our lives. It's given us some correction and discipling. It's given us some wisdom and some knowledge. The words that remind us to draw near to God as he is our loving Father, who wants to empower us, bless us, and commission us into ministry and mission here in this place. Brothers and sisters, be blessed. Be very blessed. I think these two chapters of scriptures that we've been going through for the last 9 or 10 weeks have been a wonderful journey, a journey of love and understanding for each one of us. And may you be blessed into your weeks ahead. Amen.